saying nothing, lying where the sun is, baking down upon our sides.
Welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me questions at bruce@brucesalin.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Bruce Salin, and certainly like the A Dad's Point of View Facebook page. This segment of the Bruce Salin Show, A Dad's Point of View, is sponsored by North Pier Fiduciary Management, a registered investment advisor, and the group I trust and use to handle my money. You can reach them at npier.com, npier.com, and do right at info@npier.com, info@npier.com, to get their free newsletter. It is time for The Men's Room with Wayne Levine. Wayne Levine is a life coach for men, couples, and families. He's the director of BetterMen.org in Agoura Hills, California, where he facilitates men's groups and men's retreats. The next one is coming up, as a matter of fact. BetterMen.org's mission is to help men be the best men, fathers, and husbands they can be. Welcome back to the show, Wayne.
It's always a pleasure.
It is a pleasure indeed. We've known each other a long time. And as I'm thinking of it just now, I guess I met you before either one of your kids were driving. They were probably 10, 11, 12 years old.
That's correct.
Which means I've known you a long time, since one of them is out of his her teens altogether. Isn't that correct? And one's still hanging on barely?
20 and almost 23.
Oh, excuse me. They're both out of their teens. Mm-hmm. So our topic today is our teens driving, and the sense for this dad that it was a big passage. And in the column I wrote, I also asserted that it may not be as big a passage for moms, in that they suffer all sorts of passages that make them weepy along the way, while we, you know, heartless, senseless, emotionless dads sometimes don't respond except to important stuff like driving. So,
well,
curious what you have to say.
I don't know what the numbers are, but I would venture to say that there are more fathers who take their kids out driving than mothers. I think it's one of those tasks that oftentimes just falls to the dad.
Yeah, along with the sex talk, the birds and the bees talk.
Yes, much of which never happens, as I find out in dealing with the men, that they never quite had that talk.
Yes, because the kids have learned it all already on the Internet and through their friends, and they have a very distorted view of that. That's actually a good discussion,
yeah.
a good topic for us for another episode.
Yeah. You know, you wrote in your column, and I remember my experience in terms of driving. We had driver's ed in school, and we dealt with it for a whole semester, and then the teacher took me out and taught me how to parallel park. And by the time I got my license, I felt completely confident. And nobody at home, I didn't have a dad, and my mom was too busy. So most of the driving experience that I actually received was with my teacher. And he was also, you know, an athletic coach at school, and they all wore those many hats.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that we all did together. So, you know, I was in a class with 20-something kids, and we all talked about safety, and we watched the gory movies, and we had a lot of time to hear about, you know, two and back then, you know, hold your hands at 2 and 10, and
right,
and
right.
All those rules, I remember them because of that class. I remember them because of the amount of time that we dealt with it.
It was a whole class. It was a whole semester, as I recall, for
that's
me.
Right. That's right.
Whereas now, with it being outsourced to vendors, they go to 2 or 3 sessions, they take home a book, and it's not as in-depth or a process in which they really get comfortable with it before they're, boom, put at a driver's test.
That's right. And I would say, like everything else we've talked about, parents, you cannot relinquish your responsibility to teaching your kids entirely to anybody else for any reason, including driver's ed. So it's a requirement to have this training, but I spent hours and hours with my kids in the car. And in fact, even today, I mean, I'm not a very good passenger. I like to be in control. I like driving my car.
Gee, what a shock.
But when I'm driving with the kids, they'll always reference one of the annoying things that I brought to their lesson. But the thing is, they remember it.
Yes,
I agree. You know, with my daughter, I'd always say left, like move a little bit more left, because I feel like I'm about to hit the curb.
Right.
And left, and you know, yeah, it was annoying, but there were certain points that I wanted to make over and over and over again, and it was okay with me to be annoying because
their life is at stake.
That's right, of course. and there's the safety, and then we had a lot of time to talk about the consequences of traffic tickets.
Yes.
Financial consequences with just money out of pocket, insurance costs, you know, so we had time to talk about all these things, and they knew that I'm not joking around. If you're going to drive, you had better be responsible because I am responsible for your mistakes.
Right.
And
right.
So they, you know, I laid out the cost to my son, especially the boys cost more to insure than the girls because they statistically just do a lot more stupid things when they're driving.
Which I said in the first segment.
Yeah.
So we are just confirming it.
Right. And they knew. It's like, hey, don't even think about taking one of these cars if you're not going to completely own, you know, the responsibility. And another thing I think I might have mentioned before is that the kids, if they wanted to drive in high school, they had to be employed.
Right, right. Yeah,
not that they were
same thing.
Making much money, but they could at least cover their gas.
Right.
And they had some skin in the game.
Well, it goes towards the sense that driving is a level of responsibility that isn't just a gift. You must be... own it, as you said. Own the responsibility, the risks, the rewards, and I think having a job goes along with that. I would like to ask you another question, which I proposed in the column, which is that I think 16-year-old kids today are less ready, for, not just because of the logistics, as you know, describe them with driver's ed. I think they're less ready emotionally than we were. At least my generation. I mean, you're so much younger, so I can only speak for my own generation. And I wonder, is that just the older generation saying the kids are younger, or do you think there's some validity to the fact that maybe kids today have been pampered a little more, spoiled a little more, and have learned less responsibility, except in cases where they have an active, involved parent or parents, as your kids had with you, teaching them this stuff, and the same with me teaching my boys this stuff?
Well, you know, it's so hard to determine whether what we're seeing is through the lens of, you know, being long in the tooth. It's
right,
really
exactly.
Very difficult. I guess my gut is telling me that when we were kids, well, when you were a kid, life was completely different. When I was young, there were responsible. I have responsible friends and irresponsible friends. There were parents who were heavily involved, and there were parents who were not involved at all. So,
but look, you and I could have had jobs when we were 12, 13, or 14. I was a paper boy. My kids, there's nothing that they could do that unless they were extremely entrepreneurial at 13 or 14 years old. And even finding a job at 16 and 17 is so much harder than it was when I was 16, 17. There were lots of jobs available for me. There's few. Not just because of the economy, but because just the whole world has changed. Now nobody has a paper route. It's done by an adult.
Right.
For that matter, papers are not even as prevalent as they used to be.
So you're suggesting that because kids when we were young were working, we had a level of responsibility that qualified us more to be responsible behind the wheel.
Yes.
Well, I think that, look, I think part of our perspective comes from the communities in which we live.
Mm-hmm.
There are communities that have less money, and their experiences are different. And
yes.
There are a lot of younger kids who have to work, and they find a job. There's still a lot of work out there, but it's not so readily available. It's certainly the world looks different to us. There aren't the paper routes and all that kind of thing, but there are still ways of helping, and I think that in those communities where kids don't have a choice, they're probably finding a way to make some money.
Well, and in the communities where they do have a choice, they can always do volunteer work because that is always available, and that teaches responsibility as well.
And that, again, it usually comes from the parents and modeling
right.
That behavior.
Exactly. We are nearly out of time. Please tell our listeners where they can reach you, Wayne.
If you call right now, I'm sitting at my desk. If you can't call me right away, you can check out the website, bettermen.org. Get a copy of my book, Hold On To Your Nuts, Non-Negotiable, Unalterable Terms, The Relationship Manual for Men. Good place to start, ladies, if you want your husbands to become better husbands and fathers. And then we've got our retreat coming up in Santa Barbara, September 23 through 25, and It's our initiation into manhood.
And people do come in from all over the country and the world for those retreats. So don't let the location scare you away. It's a worthwhile weekend. Thank you so much, Wayne.
Thanks, Bruce.
And thank you, North Pier, for sponsoring this segment of the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. It is time for a break. We will be back with Pastor Drew Sams and Teen Rap.
Drive my car, and maybe I'll